Tape recorded message number TL-466. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 19. We resume our studies in 1 Samuel, beginning with chapter 19. In the close of the 18th chapter, we read in the 29th verse that Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. And here in the opening verse of the 19th chapter, we read that Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. He could maybe sell this idea to Jonathan. It did not sell, but he tried to sell this idea to Jonathan because Jonathan, as his son, would become the king when Saul gave up the throne, either in death or by overthrow. And, of course, his servants were paid by Saul, and Saul probably said, you won't have any positions under David, and it would be best if we all set ourselves to wipe him out. But we're told in the second verse that Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself under the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. That was his advice, Jonathan's advice to Saul. In the third verse, I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that will I tell thee. Meaning to see what I find out, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not this king sin against his servant. That is, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward, that is, toward thee in relationship to thee, very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought great salvation for all Israel. You saw it, and you did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Because he had no reason for slaying him. It was only to protect his position as king, and he'd already been set aside by God, and so what could a man do to protect a position when he'd already been set aside by God? In verse 6 we're told that Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. That's his pledge to Jonathan, and he said he shall not be slain. Now, men like Saul are inclined to break their words. They're inclined not to keep their promises. We'll have to see how it goes as time goes on. Now, in verse 7 we read that Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines. That is, fought against them, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit of the Lord was upon Saul. This was not a spirit being. This was a condition of mind which was brought about by God. Such a condition could have caused Saul to seek God. Such a condition of mind could have caused Saul to pray to God. That was probably what it was for. So this evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. It wasn't that he might do evil, but that out of this feeling that he had of what we would call today of depression and hatred, that out of this might even come good. So he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hands. Saul had an instrument of war in his hand, and David had the harp in his hand, and he was playing. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the javelin. And he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And Saul smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. So the promise did not last very long. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him, and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Michal took an image. The word here is teraphim. What she was doing with such a thing we do not know, but it seems like that as far as real faith in God, a relationship to him, this woman may not have had it. But she took this image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster to cover with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him." His hatred goes to the place where, if this man is sick, just bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. Now, when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed, with a pillow of goat's hair for its bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me so? And you sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped." And Michal answered Saul, he said unto thee, "Let me go. Why should I kill thee?" She's not telling the truth here at any time. But the Lord is making the wrath of man to praise him. And so she lies to Saul. This did not help David in his escape. It just simply protected her for a moment. Well, David fled and escaped, and he came to Samuel, to Ramah. That was Samuel's place of residence, where he usually remained. Now, David is with the elderly Samuel at this time. He told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." Well, Saul sent messengers to take David. Now, these messengers would have been soldiers acting as his policemen, and they went to arrest, that is, to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as anointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Now, I've told you on numerous occasions that to prophesy in the Bible does not mean to foretell the future. Of course, if the prophet's message concerns the future, he will speak of the future. But if it concerns the past, he'll speak of the past. And when a man is a prophet, it is that God gives him words, and that he speaks the words of God. No one is a prophet to God, to the prophet of God today. The word is written. We are shut up to the written word of God. And all of these claims of men, that they are prophets and they wear the prophet's mantle, this is just one more evidence of the so-called Christian liars. Well, not so-called, but the Christian liars, which are infecting Christendom in many, many ways today. The Spirit of God came upon them, and they spoke the Word of God. And I've said before that I do not know what they said, but I'm sure it was pertinent to this occasion, that when these men joined this company of prophets and began to prophesy, that they probably spoke of David, how that he kept the sheep, how he was anointed by Samuel, and how that he had killed a bear, and how that he had killed the lion, and how he had even slain Goliath, and how he had done battle against the Philistines and taken many. And I'm sure the word that they spake had to do with the greatness of David. So when it was told Saul, he sent out their messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. And so three times he has sent messengers, three times the Spirit of God has come upon them, and the Bible identifies their prophesying with the Spirit of God coming upon the messengers. He identifies these men with the Spirit of God and the words that they speak also with God's Spirit. So Samuel apparently said, it looks like I've been sending boys to do a man's job. And I suppose he buckled on his great sword and with his armor bearer going before him, Saul came to a great well that is in Sekou. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth to Ramah. Now notice, the Spirit of God was upon him also. This is the Word of God you're dealing with. The translation is entirely acceptable. I find nothing at all to criticize here. The word is that the Spirit of God was upon Saul. And he went on and prophesied, speaking the Word of God, until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also, and he prophesied before Samuel in like manner. And he lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets. Again, I tell you that when the Spirit of God comes upon anyone, it comes upon him only for the purpose that God has in mind. It might be a very small purpose, like it came upon Habakkuk, and he wrote that book of just one chapter. It came upon Isaiah, and Isaiah wrote the book, 62 or 63 chapters? I've sort of forgotten now, but I'll look, as I don't want to know. It's 66 chapters. I should have been able to remember that, but I didn't. So Isaiah wrote a book of 66 chapters. Habakkuk wrote a book of one chapter. Both of these men wrote because the Spirit of God came upon them. So the only reason the Spirit of God comes upon anyone is to accomplish a certain purpose. I firmly believe today that we have the Spirit of God. I also believe that instead of asking for the Spirit of God, we ought to ask to be able to use the Spirit that we have and seek to use it. It's like a child asking for more food when his plate is full. But I believe that this Spirit of God was given not to make us great, or not to make us flaming fires, or not to make us famous among men. I believe it was given so that we might know the things of God, the things written in God's Word, the Word that we're shut up to today. And as difficult as this Word is to understand, I believe that if we apply ourselves to it, that is, if we read it, if we reread it, if we consider carefully what is said, that the Spirit of God that we have as the earnest of our inheritance will be able to give us the truth. And so this really created a proverb in Israel, that when Saul prophesied, they said, is Saul also among the prophets? Well, the 20th chapter, Jonathan's protection of David. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid that thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? Is it not so? And David sware moreover, and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. As truly as the Lord liveth, and as truly as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. That was David's reply to Jonathan, after Jonathan's words of assurance. Verse 4, then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field under the third day at even. And if thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city. for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. Now if he say, thus it is well, thy servant shall have peace, but if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Now note, David had an appointment to keep. He was to enter into conference, which he calls eating meat, sitting with the king, and he is supposed to be there. And his excuse for not being there is that there's a family sacrifice coming up in Bethlehem, and he is gone for this. If Saul answers, let him go in peace, then all will be right. But if he becomes very angry, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why should thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee. Then would I not? Then would not I tell it to thee? Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, come, let us go out into the field. And they went by both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee, and show it unto thee, the Lord do so, and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I shall live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. Now, the translation here, forever, is too strong. It is just in perpetuity. You shall not cut off my house. Remember this, it's coming up again when we come to the record of Mephibosheth. When we come to that record, this covenant that he's made is going to come up again. But back to the beginning of verse 15. Thou also shall not cut off thy kindness from my house forever, that's Olam, in perpetuity, ever flowing. No, not when the Lord had cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. And his own soul is just a figure of speech, more or less a pronoun, for your own self, because he loved his own self. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then shalt thou go down quickly, and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and thou shalt remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send the lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou. For there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord, that is Jehovah, be between thee and me in perpetuity, perpetually, ever flowing, is what Olam means, and it should be translated by some word which signifies continuation here. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side. David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day. for he thought something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. This would be ceremonial unclean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. Now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's house. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom, that would be your government. Kingdom means government. Your government over Israel will never be established as long as he lives. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What shall he be done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, his own son. Wherefore Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. If he'd kill his own son, what would he do to David? Verse 34, So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. It came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad was with him. And he said unto the lad, Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place where of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond thee? Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto the lad and said unto him, Go, carry them to the city. That would be his bow, of course, and his arrows. Tells the lad, Go, carry them to the city. As soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south, and fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another, and wept one with another, until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, forasmuch as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. The word forever there is the word olam. It means in perpetuity and ever flowing. Now we come to 21. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and he said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and has said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereof I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young man have kept himself at least from women. If they're ceremonial clean, it could be given to them. David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. The vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, that put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. This was according, of course, to the rules of the showbread laid down in the book of Leviticus. In verse 7 we read, a certain man of his servants of Saul was there that day. This was one of the servants of Saul who happened to be there, detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and he was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and he feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate. The Septuagint reads, he struck against the doors of the gates, which seems to make more sense. He let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? That shall this fellow come into my house? And the result was that he was not brought before the king, and by this ruse he was able to depart. And we're told in verse 22, David therefore departed thence, and escaped to the cave Adullam. Now he's living in a cave. The name of the cave is Cave Adullam, the Adullam Cave. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they came down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. This matter of being in distress, every one that was bitter in soul, is the way it reads. They gathered themselves unto him. He became a captain over him. There were with him about 400 men. And notice the type of men that he has. Men who were in distress. What the distress was, we do not know. Men that were in debt. Men who were discontented. And so on. Bitter in soul. He became a captain over them, and these were 400 men. And these are 400 who cast their lot with David in the day of his rejection, knowing that they would be with him in the day of his manifestation. Oh, how good it would be to say, we went out in the day when he was rejected. We went out in the day when no one wanted anything to do with him, and there were 400 men. We'll read more about them later. And David went thence to Mizpeh of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold, hiding in the cave. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Here was a man that spoke the word of God, the prophet Gad. He spoke the word of God, and all he told him was, get thou into the land of Judah. And David departed, and came unto the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered, the men were with him. Now we're told that Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day?" Well, then answered Doeg, see, he's appealed to the cupidity of this man, their love of money and love of power. And Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, 'Hear now, thou son of Ahitub.' And he answered him, 'Here I am, my lord.' And Saul said unto him, 'Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse? And thou hast given him bread and a sword. He was inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day.'" Now David had done nothing of the kind was planned, but Saul imagines it, and therefore he's acting on the basis of his hatred and his imagination. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything to thy servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more." And the king said, "Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house." And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, "Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David." Now these men are going to die just because they spoke the truth, and because they knew when he fled. They did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not pour forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. These servants have good sense, and they're not going to destroy the priests of the Lord, because that could bring guilt upon them. And the king said to Doeg, "Turn thou and fall upon the priest." And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons, that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen, asses, and sheep with the edge of the sword. One of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard.'" Now we continue the wanderings of David, the rejected king, God's anointed one to be king in Israel. Chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more if we come to Keilah, against the armies of the Philistines. Then David inquired the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hands. So David and his men went to Keilah, and fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. And David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. It was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut up by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. All we'll need to do is to close the gates, and we'll have him. He'll be our captive. Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, He will come down. Then said David, Will the men of Keilah deliver me up and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, they arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they should go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Which is just a negative way of saying God delivered him out of his hands. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul, my father, knoweth. And they made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down. And our part shall be deliver him into thine hand. And Saul said, Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion upon me. See, Saul is really divorced from God, divorced himself from God, but he never fails to maintain his religion. Blessed be ye of Jehovah, for ye have compassion upon me. He says, Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his heart is, and who has seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself. And come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go down with you. And if some come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. Wherefore he came down unto a rock, and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, David his men on the outside of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. And Saul and his men compassed David, and his men round about to take them. And there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David, and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called the place Selah Amalekoth. And David went up from thence, and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Now that brings us to the end of the 23rd chapter. And since the next chapter is really complete in itself, and I do not want to start it and have to make a bad break, I'll take the moment that remains just to remind you that in here we're dealing with God's own record, his record of men, the goodness of men, yea, the badness of men, the morality that they showed and the immorality that they showed. We find that David is circumspect in all of his doings and that Saul is wicked in his doings. God's going to deal with this. He's allowing it to work out, and God is very definitely in the picture for the protection of David. It is good to see that at this time that David is dwelling in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Now, we're just dealing with history, and we could depart, go off on to strange paths in 101 places, but that's what you would be thinking about, and what I want you to think about and become familiar with is just this record that God has given. As I read the word, read it to you, I continually say, is there anything here that contradicts what I believe? Is there anything here that contradicts what I say is my faith? Would this show me that I hit a derail in my thinking and went wrong? Well, so far I have not found it so in what I have read. I realize that we're dealing here with a time which is not like our own time. For certainly these days of Saul and David was not the dispensation of the grace of God. I'll bring it to a close at that point. I thank you for listening. It has been my joy to teach you until we meet again around the pages of God's book. I bid you goodbye.